That is a group called the Almost A Quintet, based in Champaign-Urbana, from their CD called, well, I guess it depends how you say this, but most people maybe say Cumin Seed and Peppercorns, and the tune Bashana Haba'a, and arrangement there by the brother of the violinist of the group, Ed Hayes, arranged that for the quintet. And Armand Baudouin plays bass and cello variously. Ricardo Flores is the percussionist. Dorothy Martirano, violin. And somewhere in here plays baritone violin, which I'm not sure I've ever seen one of those. Chris Raymond is the accordionist and George Turner the guitarist. And heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. The show's your connection to local performances, and Almost A Quintet has some coming up, as they always do. And I chose to start the program with their CD because, as these things sometimes happen, we don't have the full quintet on the show today. Hoping that Chris Raymond is fine, but he's not with us, so the accordion is not here. So I thought you should at least hear the sound of the full group, because we won't quite be getting it on the program today, but we have the other four of them live with us. So today they are the Almost A Quartet, if we can call you that. Thanks all very much for coming in today.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.
And also, I guess I'll just sort of say publicly thanks to the quintet for playing at my wedding 3 weeks ago.
Oh, you're welcome. We loved it.
Yeah, it was fun to dance.
It was a beautiful wedding.
To your music, yeah. Well, I certainly thought so. Prettiest one I ever had, which is to say the only one. Anyway, Almost A, I made not exactly a joke in my promo material, promo spot to the program, of saying that last time you guys were on, which was quite a while ago, I tried to get some explanation, a straight answer as to what your name meant, and I never got one. So I just, this might even be the answer, but I just assumed, given that you have diverse backgrounds and that you play an extreme diversity of music, that it must be almost anything. I don't know if that's it, or if it's you tend to play flat, so you're almost at a real A.
That is almost close. That's closer.
That's closer.
Yeah.
But it's,
except it's sharp, because accordions are always at, what was it?
The accordion is sharp.
It's always sharp.
Is that right?
So we tune sharp.
So that's it.
That's it.
That is the answer. But I like almost anything. I mean, it happens to work, because you play an extraordinary number of styles of music adapted to, you know, your own devices. Remind me, how long have you been around as a group?
Oh, I don't know.
3 years, maybe, something like
that. Is that all?
Not that long. Maybe three, maybe four.
Yep.
There seems to, I mean, Dorothy, you're involved in various groups. You're each involved in various groups. Some of them small, some of them, I mean, Ricardo plays in a couple of very large groups, which is to say Champaign-Urbana Symphony and the Symphony at Camera, and I don't know what all else. But this group, actually, minus Ricardo, but including Chris, is playing, Saturday, tomorrow.
Tomorrow,
Under another name called Tangata.
Yep. It's basically the same group without percussion, because percussion isn't usually part of tango.
Tango music.
They'll have, you know, three bandoneons and a piano, and Chris plays both with our group.
He does play bandoneon? Or
no, well, he plays accordion, but
accordion and piano.
He makes it sound like a bandoneon. Mm-hmm. And then it usually has bass, and sometimes it has several violins, sometimes a cello.
The tango style.
Yeah.
And will you be playing for an actual tango dance tomorrow?
Yeah, a milonga.
That is
at Cranard Art Museum.
And that's from 2 to 4:30. And can people, as far as you know, can people just show up to that?
People, or is
that
can just show up. You can show up at 1 and get a lesson. And interestingly, tango is very easy to start, because it's just walking. So one person is walking backwards and the other person is walking forward. And that's the basic. Am I right, George? Because you're a tango dancer.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess so. That's kind of the starting point anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
So when you say it's easy to start, you mean easy to start learning the dance
start
part.
Start learning to dance it, yeah.
Is
and
that,
you can actually go to a milonga and not feel like an idiot if you've never done it before.
Oh, geez, I went and watched one time, and I thought this is a dance I'd be interested in learning, but it looked like it would be terribly complex to learn.
It can be, but it can also be really simple. So, but Mei Li usually will start around 1, and he'll DJ the beginning and do...
This is Nelly Center?
Yeah, yes. And Ooh. Do some dance with people that want to learn.
How did you get in as a group? How did you get involved in playing tango? Did you each have... Any of you have background in that, or just decided this is something you wanted
to try? I just liked the sound of it, and so went and played something with Joe Groen, and you've played tango for a long time.
Yeah, I had played a little bit before we started doing this. I had played with that group Tango Espejo, that it was kind of specialized in mostly in Piazzolla's music, and mm-hmm. So I had done a little bit. But not really much. It wasn't for very long before we started.
So yeah. So the various small groups that you've put together, yeah. I mean, I guess Dorothy particularly, because I've seen your name attached to so many, including right now that you have one that I guess Armand is in, and I don't know if the rest of you called Ms. M and the Jokers, another explanation
That's
I've never gotten straight. It's just the two of you?
It's just cello and violin and cello... And Barry violin, I play Barry violin, which basically is can be an octave below or two octaves below a violin.
And is that accomplished by making it big or?
No, you first restring it with octavo strings.
What are those?
And then they sound an octave lower.
Because they're thicker or?
They're thicker. They're quite a lot thicker.
This is new information to me. I like learning things in this program.
Then you put an octave divider on it, and I have a really nice octave divider, which will then send it down another octave.
Is this electronic device?
Yeah. And he has all the rest of the jokers.
Which are the electronics, just looping pedals.
I see. So
things to modify the sound.
Ms. M and the Jokers, okay. The joke is on you, in other words.
I guess.
I suppose. Well, why don't we have you play something as a quartet? You came in to do that, after all. We heard the quintet off of a recording. We got you live. What do you want to start with?
I think we'll play Time on My Hands. It's a 1930 tune by Vincent Humans. Humans?
Yeah. Thank you.
Music by Vincent Yeomans. And what did you say this tune was called?
Time on My Hands.
On My Hands, okay. The Almost A Quintet minus one, so a quartet today. They're going to be playing coming up on Friday, October the 18th at Bouvon's in Urbana, Bouvon's Wine Bar. That's from 6 to 8 p.m. Is that a monthly gig for you?
The
same spot?
Yeah, when we're able. Some months everyone's just too busy doing things, but usually we play there once a month.
So that's on the 18th, and you'll be there again on Friday, November the 15th. Tomorrow, four of you, as Tangata, will be playing at the Cranet Art Museum for a show at 2. Well, it's not really a show. It's a tango dance, a milonga, mm-hmm. at the Cranet Art Museum on University of Illinois campus. Cranet Art Museum is not at the Cranet Center, for those of you who sometimes get confused on that point. It's over on Peabody Drive in Champaign,
right.
Whereas other things happen at the Cranet Center in Urbana. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. This is one of many programs that you can take with you anywhere you go if you go and get the WYNL app. It's a free program. If you have an iPhone, iPad, or Android device, you can go get that off of the App Store or Google Play. For information about how to do that, go to our website at will.illinois.edu. That's will.illinois.edu. Dorothy, you said, you know, sometimes somebody or more of the group just, you know, too busy with various things going on. And I'm just sort of looking at the various groups that you all play in. We started with you, Dorothy, Ms. M, and the Jokers, and also Armand in there, and then Tangata. What is this group called? Spinning, Sliding, and Scratching?
It's a group with Morgan Powell and Patty Ruby and Armand and I.
And Morgan's a trombonist. Patty is a dancer.
She's a dancer, yeah. Storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
And Scratching,
that's you.
And he's a scratcher, too.
Oh,
sometimes.
The scratcher. He's the slider with the trombone.
Morgan's a slider, and Patty's a spinner. She spins tails and spins.
So what sort of music would one hear at one of your gigs?
A lot of improvised music. And half improvised music?
Free improvisation, oftentimes. There's some very loose score that you improvise around. There may be a story that's interweaved in the improvisation. So.
And you all participate in different kinds of improvisatory music. There's, I suppose that would be some sort of cross between, I mean, particularly knowing Morgan, between jazz and contemporary art, for lack of a better term, contemporary art, improvised music, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, George, you're heavily involved in different kinds of jazz, and Ricardo as well, especially Latin jazz. How much does jazz influence this group? I mean, that last tune, pretty extensive improv section for you, George.
I would say that jazz is a very big part of this group. Certainly, we all have, jazz backgrounds of one kind or another.
Well, I don't, but.
But you've come sort of come into you've come into jazz through the back door, so to speak. You know, through the classical world.
I'm just not trained in it in the way that all these other people are.
Including Armand, what did you start to say?
Well, it is definitely jazz influenced, but we will pick other songs, like for instance, like the song, a Jewish traditional song, like you opened with, and it's nice in that it's some of the places we play. It attracts a different audience. It attracts a broader audience. So it's nice to have the improvised element. And then it's also nice to play different styles of music, to go. For instance, if we're playing and a number of dancers show up, we can just go and play a few tangos, which may not be so improvised. And though they might not be authentic tango, it gives everybody an opportunity to dance in the room. While there is definitely, you know, training and background and influence by jazz, we do make an effort to play other types of tunes to make broader appeal, or to invite different people to listen.
Do you intend? Do you tend to introduce improvisatory elements into each of the songs you do, no matter where they come from?
We do. Well, like what you opened with, my brother's arrangement, we did an improvised section in the middle of that.
Which is a nice way to make your gig longer, or expand to fill the time, I suppose. I mean, that's one of the nice things about improv music, and is that you're each time you play the song, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if somebody goes to hear you, if they're a groupie, they can go to hear almost a quintet any number of times and probably hear everything differently.
Right.
I assume.
Right.
Unless, George, you are so enamored of one of your solos and you decide to write it down and play it again the same way. But that probably never happens.
No, that doesn't really happen.
Because you never are that enamored of your solos, or is just not something that you've ever thought about
doesn't
doing?
He need to.
probably both, yeah.
Almost a quintet here on the
I write down solos sometimes.
Do you?
Yeah.
I often wonder, actually.
Not even necessarily my own. I'll write somebody else's, and then I'll play off that or change it slightly. Or
well, I know that's a time-honored tradition for jazz musicians, is to hear a recording of I don't know, just pick out Charlie Parker for lack of anybody mm-hmm. else that popped in my
Absolutely,
head
yeah.
where you just write down or if you don't write it down you just directly imitate.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, transcribing solos is a huge part of the jazz
and
tradition.
Then how does that help you learn?
Well, I mean, I think it just helps you, see how the greats, approach, playing over different kinds of tunes, different kinds of chord changes, how they incorporate different melodic ideas. It basically just sort of teaches you how to improvise, really, I would say.
It helps me learn tunes to do that.
To learn a tune just by writing it down.
Yeah, because sometimes I have real trouble improvising on it, and then I'll write out a solo, somebody's solo, and then it's easier to improvise on.
So you'll take the solo and essentially improvise on the solo
mm-hmm.
in some way or another.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know that Johann Sebastian Bach used to do some version of that where he would write out some other then famous composer's tunes and just copy him, and
right.
that would that somehow or another that helped him to become the great Bach. So we all learn however we need to do it, and I'm certainly enjoying hearing you play various types of things. I want to ask about some of the other groups coming up, because there's that you're variously involved in. For example, Chris Raymond, who's your accordionist and pianist and not here, plays in this group with the wonderful name of Compost Q. What do you know about that?
Well, the three of Armand, me, and Chris all play in
You're
that
all
group.
In that. Okay.
Right. And that, again, is a lot of free improvisation, but with dancers.
That does something that's organized by Eric Lund, the composition division at the university, and Kirsty Simpson with the dance department.
And Eric is also a trombonist.
And Eric's also a trombonist. But we are truly blessed with a lot of wonderful trombone players in this town. And so that group there's a collaboration between Eric and Kirsty, both in putting together that group and going out and performing, and also in their instruction. They co-teach a class together that will be offered in this spring semester, which involves dance and music improvisation. And then they carry that out into this group, Compost Q, and we're fortunate enough to play with that group. In that group, Yu Chen plays the zither, or the guzheng.
Guzheng.
And her husband is a phenomenal bass player who also plays with that group,
Henry Chen. Yeah.
So it's, again, free improvisation, but then dance interwoven into the improvisation.
So that's two improvisational groups now that you're involved with that have mm-hmm. dance in some form or another. Well, mm-hmm. now I'm intrigued to go check these out once if I ever see a listing. And I have not seen one for Compost Q. So send me some info sometime.
We'd be happy to put you on the...
Please.
On the
You've got my email address. Please do. Let's hear another tune from the Almost A Quintet Minus One. What do you want to do next? Something of considerable contrast or not?
We're going to do a piece called Dee's Grace.
That's a tune by Armand, right?
Right.
Dee,
do you want to say anything?
Reference to Dorothy here.
No.
Dee is,
this was written quite a long time ago. Dee is married to my wife's brother, so I guess it's my wife's sister-in-law, and Grace is our niece. And it's a story about Dee and Grace. They lived on the Oregon coast, and it's just about them playing in the beach when Grace was a young little girl. Mm.
So this is a song that about a story, about an event.
Yes, this is a song about mother and her daughter playing on the beach.
Well, I've heard this tune once before, but I didn't know that, so now I'm going to listen to it differently.
Okay.
That was not part of it.
Yeah,
that's the scratching part.
Okay, so...
One, two, three, one, two. Thank you. D's Grace, the name of that tune, by our cellist in the group, Armand Baudouin, and heard here on Live and Local, and a performance by four members of the Almost A Quintet performing here in advance of a gig that four of them have tomorrow. Tomorrow is Saturday. Tomorrow from 2 to 4:30 at the Cranford Art Museum on the University of Illinois campus, as those four make up the group Tangata. So it's actually a tango dance that's they're going to be playing for tomorrow. The full quintet as Almost A will be performing at Bouvons in Urbana next Friday, October the 8th. That's two Fridays from now, isn't it? Two Fridays from now, October the 18th at Bouvons in Urbana from 6 to 8. And then they'll be there next month, and no doubt some other gigs either by this quintet or by some other group that some number of them or another are involved in. And well, if Dorothy, you will indeed put me on the mailing list for those others, then we'll be able to put it up on our calendar and mention when those things are happening. Our broadcast today on Live and Local is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, preserving our nation's musical heritage at the University of Illinois, now featuring new exhibits entitled On the Road Again, Cruisin' Coast to Coast with America's Music. More information is available at sousaarchives.org. We've mentioned some of the groups that I guess three of you play in. Ricardo Flores is the percussionist. I'm curious about various things. I'm not even sure where I want to start, but I guess I'll start with what's arrayed before you on the table. And particularly the one instrument I think you've played the most, which I've never seen before. This is kind of a cylindrical metal thing with a handle on it, and I have no idea what it is.
Yes, that's called a güira. Similar to a güiro, it's a scraped instrument. It's from the Dominican Republic. And a lot of people, it's kind of a relative of the güiro, which is the wooden one, which is used mostly in Cuban music.
Which is louder.
It's loud. Well, this is louder.
This is louder?
Yes, because usually you don't use brushes on it, which is what I'm being very kind and using brushes on. But there's a metal scraper.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And
yeah,
it's usually a lot louder. It's traditionally used in merengue type music. And I decided to bring it along just as part of my percussion array.
So this is one that you usually have with them, or you usually don't have with them?
I bring about the same setup now. I've kind of gotten used to this. You know, this group used to actually be Almost A Quartet, and then they asked me to join a little bit later and decided to make it Almost A Quintet. And I don't know if Dorothy emailed me or Chris and said, listen, we've got this group, and we thought we'd like some percussion to this, and we thought of you because we don't want drums or we don't want strict Latin percussion. We want, like, tambourines and shakers and toys and things like that. And once I heard the group, I understood why. Well, first of all, it's got violin, accordion, cello, and guitar. It's got an unusual bunch of instruments. And then the type of music that's played, I can understand why they just wanted toys. So I showed up with a bag of toys. I call these toys various percussion instruments. And I do use a lot of tambourine, which works well for some of the gypsy music. And I wanted something that I could, in fact, the first gig that I did with you guys at Bouvons, I took my brushes and I played brushes on an aluminum chair.
Okay.
Which worked really well.
I would think it might.
But sometimes those chairs are being used by people, and they sit on them. So I didn't start bringing this güira, and I do a lot of my brush work on that, kind of playing the sort of patterns that I would on a snare drum.
Well, we heard a solo in, well, really a duet between, an improv duet between Armand on the cello and you and the percussion during that last tune, and it really, it was fun for me to watch because you were, as you said, you're doing what a jazz drummer might do on a full drum set, except with these little toys.
Right.
And the other thing I wondered about the toys, although there are two that I see that I don't know what those are either, that maybe you'll play and then I'll ask about them at that point, but as a percussion professor, which of course you are at the University of Illinois, I've often wondered, is part of the curriculum for your students to learn how to play the toys? You know, the smaller things. I mean, I imagine most of the time you spend on things like timpani and snare drum and the mallet instruments like xylophone, marimba, and so on. But is there a segment, as it were, where you get out all of these instruments and say, here's how one properly plays the güira or the tambourine?
Well, we do try to cover as much as we can, and, you know, time is limited when you're studying here for, say, 4 years, working on a bachelor's degree, for instance, there's so many percussion instruments to learn to play. And most people go to school to study classical percussion. But here we like to develop the well-rounded percussionist. So everyone studies snare drum, timpani, keyboard percussion, drum set. It's kind of one of the basic food groups that we talk about in the percussion world. And then the accessory instruments, they're all orchestral accessories, which I actually have a class that I teach every other week for our studio on bass drum, crash cymbals, tambourine, orchestral type tambourine, triangle. By the way, this tambourine and this triangle I will be using tonight at an orchestra rehearsal also. I use the same instrument.
For the Champaign-Urbana Symphony.
For the Champaign-Urbana Symphony. And we go over the orchestral accessories, but the Latin percussion and more unusual accessories, you kind of learn kind of on the job. When you get a part in band or orchestra that requires you to play a cabasa, for instance, or maracas or things like that, you can either figure it out yourself or you come to me or Professor Mersch, my colleague, and we work with you on it. I'll try to have some studio classes interspersed throughout the semester where I'll concentrate on maybe just toys or maybe just hand drum technique, doing Latin percussion like congas and bongos. But there's so many different things to learn, it's hard to cover everything. And I'll be honest with you, we may never have a lesson on cowbell. But if somebody picks up a cowbell, I'll show them how to play it and I'll tell them, you know, what should be done. If they play in a Latin jazz ensemble, for instance, then they get a chance to play all the Afro-Cuban percussion instruments as well as Brazilian percussion instruments. And I will work with students on that. In fact, they'll study for one semester with me working on hand drums quite a bit, as well as other instruments.
Hand drums, I mean, I've watched those many times, and those seem like you really need to learn the technique, not least because if you don't, your hand is going to hurt like hell.
That's right. You could really
hurt yourself. I've tried this once, and I apparently didn't do it right, or at least maybe you have to develop the calluses or something. But I have sometimes wondered, I mean, even as a conductor, when I run across an instrument in a score that might not be among the usual ones, and I mean, particularly since I conduct a youth orchestra, and a kid will be playing some auxiliary instrument, and I'm pretty sure they're not doing it right, but I'm not exactly sure how it should be played. In which case, my inclination, anyway, which I don't always follow, would be to call up one of you guys and say, you know, how is this played in this particular spot in this particular piece?
Please do.
And then
give us a call whenever you need to.
But I've wondered whether the percussionist, him or herself, would have to do the same thing often or not.
Yes, many of them do. And a lot of time you do get, even playing in classical music, playing in orchestras, you get parts that require different techniques. You got to know how to do that, which is why I stress to students, you know, pick up a toy and play it. If you don't know how to play a tambourine, lock yourself in a room with a tambourine for a couple of hours and learn to play it. You know, study it with somebody and learn the proper techniques. But, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that you just don't get very many lessons on. But we try to cover as much as we possibly can during the time that they're here. And I always emphasize to students, if you got a question, stop by.
And
the door's open.
How do I get the most sound out of found percussion, which is a whole other topic. But I really want to get into that one of these days, but not today. Thanks, because these are things I've wondered about. Well, I should let you guys play another tune.
Okay. We're going to do a piece called Chardash. It's
Vittorio
famous.
Monti.
That's right.
The probably both the bane of many fiddlers and also the triumph of many fiddlers, because it sounds like it's awfully hard. Maybe not.
I don't know. I think there's an original version that's probably harder than this one.
Well, I know it's a piece that a lot of fiddlers will use to show off, which always makes me wonder, is that because it really shows off the chops or because it's easy enough that makes it sound like they're showing off their chops? I don't know.
Maybe it's like a harpist going like this, you know?
Dorothy is just sort of, you know, sort
running
of...
running fingers across.
Yeah,
when actually really hard music for harp is contrapuntal.
And probably sounds easy to the listener, but that's the hardest.
That sounds easy, but it's in very difficult, and sometimes pedal changes are. And then people are amazed by this, by the, you know, just the fluffing across the strings.
Little
and that's
glissandos
the easiest
things,
things
yeah. the things you hear in dream music and when angels come.
Right.
You know,
And I think it's probably the same idea, you know.
Maybe so. Well, there's a digression for you. Let's hear the Charash.
Okay.
Thank you.
Gloria Montes Chardas, played by the Almost A Quintet Minus One here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. They are Dorothy Martirano on the violin, George Turner on guitar, Armand Baudouin on cello, and Ricardo Flores on percussion. And the absent member today is accordionist Chris Raymond. He'll be joining them at their next gig on Friday, October the 18th at Bouvon's Wine Bar in Urbana. And he'll also be joining Dorothy, George, and Armand as another group called Tangata at the Crannon Art Museum tomorrow afternoon from 2 to 4:30 for a milonga, which is to say a tango dance. And our program today on Live and Local is made possible with support from the Crannon Center for the Performing Arts, inviting the community to explore the treasure of our ecosystem and envision our global future through Brenda Wong Aoki's MOVE, One World, One Ocean, on Friday, October 4th at 7 p.m. For more information, visit crannertcenter.com. Quick question for Armand. And in a minute, I'm going to do a little bit of a calendar, and then maybe we'll go out with something short from you guys. But I know that you play bass in a number of groups around town. I don't know how it is that you have time to actually do your duties as a professor of mechanical engineering, but
gee, thanks.
Given the number of other groups that you play in, but and I think sometimes you play bass in here too, or is it usually the cello? With this group,
I am. With this group, more lately it's been cello. I mean, my training is as a bass player, but my first bass teacher said at some point in your training you should study with a cellist. Their literature is better, and they know how to use a bow. So,
a bass player is supposed to know how to use a bow.
Well, I'm just a lot of bass players do. Her point was that they have really good literature, and you can learn a lot from bowing from a cellist. So, I did follow up with that, and just fell in love with the instrument.
And of course, today we're hearing a lot of the time, you're functioning as a bass
player
normally.
Absolutely, strictly functioning as a bass player.
Yeah. Well, let me mention some other events people can go see and hear live while you guys figure out what you want to go out with. And I'll mention some of those right now. Grassroots Revival is a bluegrass duo, I think. They're going to be at Kickapoo Landing in Oakwood this evening at 5:30. So that's coming up very soon. It's a play called Nine Parts of Desire, happening at the Crannert Center in Urbana tonight and tomorrow at 7:30. A faculty recital by University of Illinois pianist Timothy Allen. That's at the Crannert Center tonight at 7:30. It's a children's musical called How I Became a Pirate at Parkland College Theater tonight and tomorrow at 7, with a Sunday matinee at 3. At the Hoagland Center in Springfield, it's a show called Inherit the Wind tonight and tomorrow at 8 and a Sunday matinee at 2. The Station Theater in Urbana is presenting the play White People tonight at 8, and that's through Sunday at 8, and that's continuing for a couple weeks, and we'll be having a feature on that next week. The dual pianists Mark Gifford and Damian Kaplan will be at the Hoagland Center in Springfield tonight at 8 o'clock. Tomorrow, Champaign-Urbana Symphony playing at the Crannert Center. Concert starts at 7:30. At the Virginia Theater in downtown Champaign tomorrow night at 7, it's a program called Remembering Warren. Warren being Warren York, the longtime organist at the Virginia Theater. An evening with the Virginia Theater's historic Wurlitzer, and that's featuring Mark Herman, and that is at 7 o'clock tomorrow. The Mahomet Seymour 24th Annual Marching Bulldog Festival is at the Mahomet Seymour Football Field tomorrow afternoon at 1:30. And I think we're going to leave it with just three more mentions. Carbon Leaf, which is an Irish folk group, is going to be at the Castle Theater in Bloomington tomorrow night at 7. The Danville Show Chorus of Sweet Adelines will be at the Bremer Center at Danville Area Community College tomorrow at 3 and 7. And an Illinois Wesleyan University guest recital of chamber music by Trio Solari will be at Wesleyan's Westbrook Auditorium in Bloomington tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock. Live and Local is heard on 90.9 WYNL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR, classical music, and more for Central Illinois. We're a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. Something quick from Almost A.
Okay.